Positive.
Hi, all my little loves and babies and people and all sorts of types. It's Jenny Zagrino. I'm here recording for you a little short intro for Gaudy Positive for this episode. Because as you know, Mercury is in retrograde, and holy shit was it felt at this last recording. Kind of everything went wrong as far as timing, as far as the audio working. So just wanted to let you know, heads up, I did my best. I am not a full-time sound editor, nor am I a sound person, nor am I a person who knows anything about sound. However, after watching a few tutorials, I think I've managed to create and save a podcast. Some parts are going to be very quiet, meaning Kat and I talking. But Cynthia's great in this episode, and I'm delighted you get to hear it. And we will have a part two in which things will work, and that will probably come out after the retrograde, because this shit is killing me. So enjoy, everybody.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to my studio. Hey.
We have a guest here today who's taken over the podcast. She's producing it and everything.
Yep.
Oops. I was just so excited.
No, I love it.
I love new things and new experiences, so this is great.
Yeah, shout out to Michael Malone, who gave us broken microphones, so we make it work.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you.
Now I can feel more important, because I have all the equipment on me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, remember, turn that towards you.
Yeah, so apparently you couldn't hear anything I was saying. I was really funny. Trust. Okay.
We knew you were funny.
Yeah.
We felt it. Okay, so special voice, special guest. Who are you?
I am Cynthia Vincent. I'm a fashion designer, clothing designer. Have been in the industry for more than 20 years. I'm reaching 25 plus. And I currently, I'm a serial entrepreneur. Ooh. But I kind of am. I've had several lines, some of which you may have known. I started Vince, my namesake.
Yeah.
Before that was Saint Vincent. And prior to Bacall, which is what we're going to talk about, I had a line called 12th Street by Cynthia Vincent.
Yeah.
And currently, my new baby and my new drive is for Bacall, B-A-A-C-A-L, and it is for size inclusivity. And currently, I started an 8-10, and I go up to a 26-28.
That's awesome.
I am so stoked to have you. I love to introduce Cynthia, whether it's in front of your face or when I'm about to approach you, I always tell people, I'm like, okay, you're about to meet Cynthia Vincent. She's like kind of a legend. That's like always how I talk about you. It's true. If you Google Cynthia Vincent, you're going to find letters like CFDA, which...
Yes, I am a CFDA designer, have been for many years.
What's CFDA? You're going to have to explain.
CFDA is Council of Fashion Designers of America. You have to be invited in, you have to be vetted. It's a big deal. Yeah, it's a big deal. It's really the only thing we have of note in the US.
Well,
so,
and like Diane von Furstenberg, the DVF was, she was the head of the CFDA.
She was president for a couple years. Yeah.
So it's heavy hitters.
Tom Ford came after. Mm-hmm. Our current president is Thomas Brown.
Ugh.
Yeah.
God, do you love him? He's so weird and wonderful and great. Oh, God. Have you seen Tom Brown's stuff?
No.
It's very up your alley.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It is.
It's very your aesthetic.
It is. It's very like... It's like, what's that word? Not Eurocentric, but it's very British, very like Anglo meets weird and fun. And
I like to think of it as Savile Row eccentric.
Okay.
You know, sort of dandy meets the finest tailoring in the world meets dandy. Yeah.
That's perfect.
Okay. Then I do like it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's like, I love Tom Brown.
Yeah.
Fun.
You love that mix of sort of masculine and feminine energies. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's good. It's really good. Yeah.
Well, and so do you, by the way. That's at least that comes up in your designs.
Yeah, you know, it is really a part of who I am and my aesthetic. And it's interesting because my last iteration and my last company was 12th Street by Cynthia Vincent. And, you know, at the end of the day, it was give the people what they want. And I was really into a sort of all tribes are welcome, nomad. I had a lot of words for it. I think boho is probably the most used. But it was definitely something I was exploring prior to the trend. And for me, it was a way of life. It wasn't, you know, I kept saying it's not a trend. It's a lifestyle. I was all about the travel. I was all about mixing and I love entomology and the origin of things just really, really excites me. So on the surface, you could just enjoy it from an aesthetic. But for me, it was really about my own identity, always being told, you, what are you? Who are you? Where are you from? You're not from here, are you? I think my entire life.
Yeah.
I'm actually Hispanic, Mexican, Native American, Native Canadian, it turns out. And it was just always, you know, if we were in Mexico, I wasn't Mexican enough. If I'm in, you know, grade school, I wasn't Mexican American enough.
Yeah.
I present very white. It's, yeah. You know, it was just a really interesting upbringing for me. And so I think I just always embraced all that. So 12th Street was really about that. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the more masculine things are classic pieces really didn't resonate with that customer base. But if you looked prior to that, and if you look at Vince and you look at specifically Saint Vincent, you would see sort of all those aspects were much more explored in those collections than necessarily 12th Street. And I'm back to it, and I definitely have a printed house dress side to me, but I also have, I love men's tailoring. I love to explore those kinds of things. Mm-hmm. So it is a bit of a melding of all those things again at Bacall.
Yeah. I see it because I'm a big fan of Cynthia's structured jackets. I'm wild about them. I have a crop jacket that I'm obsessed with. And
is that the one you wore in your photo shoot?
I did,
Yeah,
it just I feel so posh. And I have to say, like, being somebody who's been plus size my whole life, I think finding a structured jacket has probably been the number one bane of my fashion existence.
Yeah, there's a really interesting thing that happens when you get a little larger. Mm-hmm. I feel like some designers lose their mind.
Yeah.
And don't know how to translate what they know and what they've done successfully in other parts of their work. And then all of a sudden you see, you know, a size 14 and it's just weird.
Yeah.
Or 18, it's just strange. And
yeah.
That was honestly part of the reason why I started Bacall. I wasn't even sure I would stay in fashion. I thought I'd maybe retire and travel again, you know, providing my wallet was full. So I had a really incredible opportunity for a career-changing job, basically. I had an interview with someone who in fashion was just at the pinnacle and super, super knowledgeable and extremely driven by aesthetic. And I had to look fantastic. And I know he knew all my old clothes. And I know, you know, his wife wore all my stuff. Like, it was where, and honestly, I wanted to leave that behind. I didn't want to wear it. I wanted something new. And so I had a couple weeks till this meeting, and honestly, I wasn't even that interested, but because of who it was, I wanted to be there and present. Mm-hmm. And I searched up until a few days before. I called in every favor. I had people from New York sending me stuff. I shopped online. I went in person. And after about 10 days, I literally could not find something. I think I had 40 boxes, 30 to 40 boxes in my house. I had huge try-on sessions. And at the end of it, not only was there nothing at any budget to buy that was suitable, that even make me look okay, forget about fantastic. Like, I wanted to pull it out.
Yeah.
And I felt dejected. I felt gross. The clothes made me feel missy. They didn't feel good when you put them on. If they were beautifully made, there just something was not right about them.
Yeah.
And then, of course, forget. Let's not even mention the fluctuation in sizes.
Yeah,
so I was, I was buying what I thought was my size, and some things I couldn't even put on, and some things were so ginormous.
Yeah.
Quite honestly, pretty ugly.
Yeah.
Pretty ugly.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, I almost wanted to call it pretty, you know, what is that, pretty little things? I'm like, pretty... Pretty big things. Yeah. Yeah, pretty big things. So I ended up like pulling it together. I bought some ridiculously expensive piece from The Row. It's totally oversized. You know, some vintage chinos. I looked hot. I looked cool. He ended up loving all my jewelry. Like we traded a ring. Like it was just, it was so good. It turned out amazing.
Yeah.
I actually was offered the job. But after that experience, I turned it down. I'm insane. And I started, I decided I needed to start Bacall.
Yeah.
Because if I, as a designer and also a person who, you know, I can pull it together. I can pull anything. I can sew. I can find stuff. Yeah. Let's just say it's one of my talents.
Yeah.
One of my gong show talents.
That's a throwback.
I know. I'm like, oh, shoot. None of you are going to know what I'm talking about.
They had a remake of the Gong
Show. Oh, they did. Yeah. And there's there's a really interesting show about him, how he was a spy for the CIA. Oh, so yeah, anyway, I digress.
Yeah.
I did what everyone tells you not to do. I sunk my savings. I put my own money in. I started Bacall.
Yep.
And I actually did a ton of research.
Mm-hmm.
So I had done research prior at 12th Street when a private equity company came in and partnered and bought majority shares of 12th Street. One of the questions they posed to me was like, how are we going to turn this into events? How are we going to make this huge? And I'm like, well, there's two options. One is a mid-price line of shoes, but with better quality, because none exists.
Mm-hmm.
They're super cheap and super expensive, and
yeah.
You know, everyone in the middle had been eaten. Mm-hmm. And with proper funding, you could do it. Or the other thing is to go, let's do plus. Let's do extended size. Here's the demographic. It's a $270 billion industry. Nobody's catering to. Mm-hmm. There's no designer-driven, led company. There's a lot of manufacturing.
Yeah.
But there's not really there's no one that I knew of at the time doing anything that I wanted to do.
Yeah.
And then with my experience, you know, they say, what's your aha moment? It wasn't an aha because I've known my whole career. I've known that size 10s and 12s would sell out first, but it was hard to get them into stores. I had probably on a monthly basis at least people like, could you please make my size? Could you make a larger size for my mom? Could you make a copy of this in a size whatever for my daughter? Like, it was an ongoing issue.
Yep.
And I actually tried to, I tried to get my partners to see that and really expand into that, because that was a huge opportunity to build the business.
So you were already thinking, like, I want to expand into plus size before you even started Bacall as well.
Yeah, I had explored it. I had done research in a deck, and I actually presented it, but they rejected it. Right. And, you know, interesting enough, rejection, one of the first rejections I got, I met with some investors who were extremely excited to see what I was going to do next. And I got told, but at this time I was maybe a size 12, 14.
Okay.
And I'm an 18, 20 now.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time I was that size, and he sat across me. And it was green lighted. And he's like, we're extremely excited. We want to partner with you. We believe in you.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, I think maybe you need to rethink your focus.
Mm.
I just don't think, I think women of that size, quote unquote, are waiting to buy expensive clothing. I don't think they spend the money.
Yeah.
Until later, meaning he didn't want to say lose weight, but he basically said he didn't believe that they were buying it. And I said, well, let me show you some numbers.
Yeah.
She is the number one buyer of luxury shoes and handbags. Mm-hmm. And the reason is she has nothing else to buy.
Right.
So I actually disagree with you. I myself, you're sitting across from the demographic and you're literally telling me I'm not going to buy something nice.
Right.
Yeah.
So I knew that that wasn't a partnership for me. And then I took, like I said, I took my savings. I did what you're not supposed to do. I started Bacall. I wanted to test a couple things and I launched, I actually started in 2018, but I launched that fall of 2019 because I believe that buy now, wear now was really important. And this whole antiquated system of delivering coats in June to stores was dead.
Yeah.
So I took a gamble and I actually did my car coat, which is still in the collection perennially. I did my car coat. I did it in Melton wool. I did it in black and camel. And I started shipping end of December. Mm. And I got orders all the way through February and sold out.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you were like, take that. I can show you. And I can show you how this
works. Well, it was also a test, right? So this was a beta test to see. The idea was that I would beta test. I would get all the demographic, mm-hmm. get all the analytics and present.
Yeah.
And then we all know what happened. The pandemic happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah. So now, minus those 2 years of dead time, I'm here and I'm working full time on Bacall and I'm ready to go out for funding, basically.
Yeah.
I have some pretty great analytics.
Going after funding is brutal.
Very. And a full-time job.
It is. Yeah. And you still have to do your other work and you're like, let me work on this deck. Let me work on this pitch. Let me work on all of this. So.
Oh, let me fit the garments.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me talk to my cutter who's having trouble with the bias. Yeah.
It's this. So this is the thing is like, I wish people understood just how much work being in fashion actually is. Can you take us through like what is, how many hours a week are you really working? If you were to guess, because I'm sure it's not like you clock in.
I try to be a little more balanced. I think in my 20s and 30s, I probably worked 80 hours a week, but I also loved it. Having a kid kind of changed that, even though they're 17 now. I've still kept as much as I can a work-life balance.
Sure.
That said, we're in my studio, which is the back house of my home. So, yeah, at 10 o'clock at night, if there's an issue, I turn the lights on and I'll sit down.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a little more disciplined in taking care of myself. So I will only work extremely late 2 days a week now.
Hmm.
But I do work 6 hours and I will work a 14 hour day on those long days, 14, 16. Mm-hmm. I now just work until I'm no longer productive. I don't put a timer on it. I don't give myself some hours. But when you start to notice it's like a diminishing return,
yeah.
I pack it up and I go because I can go to bed. I can go do something. I'm my own boss. Like, why am I being a bad boss to myself?
Yeah, I love that because I think especially for creatives, like we get in the, a lot of us, our time, it's like our time exists on a different plane. From like a corporate office, right? Like it's not like we don't work and it's not like we don't work hard. It's just that it happens in different sort of fits and starts. At least for me, I, hearing your schedule, I'm like, that actually makes so much more sense to me.
Yeah.
I have a couple of days a week where I will burn hours. And then the other days of the week, I'm still working, but I'm like, I'm it's not the same. It's just not the same. It's like a little broken up. I'm a little more just. Sometimes I'm a little more distracted. Sometimes I'm a little more like, I'm thinking. I think one of the things that I'm curious about for you, as somebody who's been in this business forever too, is the concept of thinking time and ideation time, because that is one of those things that like never gets talked about for creatives. But we need time to think and get inspired. Mm-hmm. I mean, Jenny, that's true for you too. I mean, it's...
Yeah, no, I have to like take breaks or I have to go do things, which I'm sure that it is inspired in the same like fashion industry is like, where do you go? Oh, there you go. Where do you go to like get more inspiration? Right? So like I just went to Vegas and saw some shows
and I've got 2 minutes of new material.
Nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And that makes that whole trip worth it. Now, I wish you, can you write that trip off? Probably not. But
I mean, can you? Yeah.
How do you write that off?
Because I wrote on that trip. It was a work trip. I had to go do research. Magic Mike was part of that research.
It's funny because my stepmom is my tax accountant, and she would not allow you to write that. So I would like to know yours.
Well, tell her to read the new tax codes because you can, because it is a flow, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of an ebb and flow, and it's fluid, and it's not so much Monday through Friday is when I work,
right?
Yeah,
because it's not. Sometimes I'll work all day Saturday. Sometimes I'll rest Saturday and I'll work a few hours, or I'll work Sunday.
Yeah,
it just really depends. You know, one thing I think for younger creatives that I wish someone had told me was how important it is to have that downtime,
mm-hmm.
to have, for me personally, I need alone time.
Mm.
I don't just need downtime. I just need mm-hmm. some time alone to recharge. And I always kind of felt guilty about that, whether in relationship or with a kid, family, you know, there's a lot of pulls. And I read, not to get woo-woo, but I did read about a little, you want me to get woo-woo?
Yeah, do it.
Okay, so many, many years ago, you know, I was looking at archetypes, and one of the archetypes I identify was Artemis, who is the spider, the weaver, the goddess of all sort of home and home goods, but she's also a warrior. And one of the things I read about, if that's your archetype, and mind you guys, this was like 25 years ago, okay?
Okay.
Does that make it okay? No, actually, you know, it's really important to look at archetypes, I think, because we are humans and we all sort of do similar things.
What's the difference between an archetype and astrology?
Yeah.
In the grand scheme, there is difference, but like, you know.
Some people are into astrology. Some people are into power animals, you know, all that stuff. For me, I like archetypes because there are certain kinds of personalities in people.
Yeah.
They just are.
Yeah.
And everything that was coming up, imagery and iconography and all of that just led me to Artemis. Like, you know, arrows, all those things that were in my life.
Oh, you have. Okay, so for people who can't see this because it's a podcast, I think I probably comment on this every time we're in the studio. I'm like, oh, right, you have a chandelier that has arrows through it, and it's really fucking rad.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
And I've always loved spiders, and spiders have always been in my life. I was never afraid of them as a kid. You know, there's just a lot of things.
Yeah. Okay.
So, but the short of the long is one of the things was that the Artemis archetype needs to have solace to recharge.
Mm-hmm.
And for whatever reason, in my late 20s, that gave me permission. Like, this is something I need to do versus, you know, hard work, hard, you know, I have a really great work ethic kind of thing. This is part of my work. And it only makes me better.
It's true. I think, like, I've been, you already know this, everybody here knows this for me, but I've been struggling upstream with burnout for, keep trying to get out from underneath it. And one of the things that, I would say even literally just last weekend, I was having this thought of, I had a Sunday, I did not see anybody. I didn't see a single person. I think we talked on the phone. Jenny and I talked on the phone. But, like, I really was very, like, I don't want to see anybody today. I want to stay home and, you know, do some things around the house and just kind of, like, be alone. And that's funny for me because I'm an extrovert. And
being you are all. Yeah, I see on your socials. You're always out and about. You have a big community.
Well, that's the thing is that I think that I have felt this pressure. I partly put this pressure on myself since being single that, like, I need to keep my
social calendar busy. Otherwise, you do.
It's that thing. It's like when you don't choose it, then it really sucks. Like when you're like, I'm not choosing to be alone. I just am right now. That's never, like, it sucks. But I think, it's that thing of, like, being alone, having that alone downtime by choice felt really good. And that's one of those things that I think we all are having to learn, that there's some balance that we need.
And it can be small. I just learned that a weekend ago, I took my kid and my niece on a road trip, and we just went up near Pismo and had only one night. Circumstance, we couldn't go the whole weekend, we couldn't leave on Friday, like you know normally Friday as soon as you can, you're out on Saturday, mm-hmm. Sunday you come back as late as you possibly can, or Monday morning, and we really only had Sunday. And I remember thinking, oh God, I'm going to be driving all this time, you know.
Right.
But I just went with it. I'm like, you know what? It is what it is. And I came back so much more refreshed.
It makes a difference.
Yeah. Just from the one overnight. Just one overnight. Because I had worked Saturday, got everything done, right?
Yeah.
Was able to be around the house. I felt like I had a 4-day weekend. It was crazy. I was able to do a lot more. So yeah. I really encourage creatives. I mean, everyone, honestly, but I really encourage creatives to kind of honor your pace and honor your rhythm. I think it's really important for not to get to burnout. We're all so close.
Yeah.
I think we talk about burnout a lot. It was rough. It was rough during the pandemic, you know?
I have a question kind of to piggyback off of that of, what do you do when, because you were talking about earlier how you were faced with people saying no to you so much, like, as a creative, how do you keep moving forward having dealing with that rejection?
I mean, it's hard. I've absolutely wanted to quit a few times, mm-hmm. for sure. I've called my mom. I've become that kid again and be like, Mom, can I quit?
You know,
I just, because she's always had my back. She's always been there for me. You know, or I think I go to humor. I would say, you know, I would effing quit, but my boss won't take my resignation letter. You know?
Yeah.
And just kind of deal with it with humor. But again, it's like honoring the rhythm when I'm in that minute. And there was some really, really difficult moments, like when zero orders were coming in. Mm. I had put all my a lot of my savings in. I did a pivot. I did masks like everyone else, you know. Mm-hmm. I started a sweatshirt line. And I didn't know what the future was going to hold. I had to really be okay with it all.
And you launched like not too long before the pandemic, right?
Yeah.
2019.
Yeah. So you were like,
it was the
really screwed.
But
you weathered it, which is pretty phenomenal.
Yeah. I mean, I had to cancel my first big fall collection.
Oh.
Yeah.
Because I knew it wasn't going to be a couple months. Right. That's the thing. It's like, come on, guys. I said a year. I said, this is going to be going on for a year.
Yeah.
Boy, was I wrong. But anyway, I don't want to talk about pandemic other than, you know, if you really listen to that, it did give us a lot of lessons, I think.
Yeah.
It really reinforced me not worrying about the small stuff. How do I recharge? How do I get through the no's?
Yeah.
I laugh through humor. I quit. Yeah. I quit, and then I got to come back to work on the next day.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll be honest, I have walked into the house and made lunch and put on terrible TV for 2 hours mm-hmm. to just get rid of it and zone out and then come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
nobody talks about this, by the way. I mean, I love that you were so honest about that, because I think that that happens a lot. I've run into it with my own startup, you know, the challenges of things, you know, we're waiting for funding. Okay. Investors are in. Okay. They're not quite in, you know, we're like, we got to do this one test. We have this new hurdle we have to traverse and or overcome or whatever. And I think everybody on my team has had that moment where we're all like, it's just being honest. Everybody goes, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
And then you go, oh, well, you go back to like the mission. You go back to your purpose, right? Like you go back to maybe that moment. I don't know for you. I don't want to put this idea in your head if it's not real, but you go back, for me, it's always like, why am I can answer the question of why am I doing this? And so that makes it easier to keep going. It's like, I really believe in this. I really think this is important. In your case, is that also true of like, I know that there's a market for this. I know that, you know, like, what is it that brings you back?
Yeah. So I've always had a knowing about Bacall in the same way I had a knowing about 12th Street. I know mm-hmm. about mm-hmm. Vince. So I have a little bit of a history and understanding what my gut is telling me.
Yeah.
But, and regardless of that, it can be really daunting. It can be daunting, like, well, am I wrong this time?
Yeah.
But I know it because I am the customer. I know it because the other thing that has sustained me is beautiful letters I get or emails or, mm-hmm. You know, the one woman who said she hadn't bought anything for herself in over a decade.
Ugh.
And she bought my Joni dress and she wore it to her son's wedding and she has never felt beautiful.
That's so like, beautiful.
That is huge,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So those things sustain me. But the last 5 months have been extremely challenging for whatever reason. Things are weird. I think politically things are strange.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have ad spend, so I'm not like getting new customers all the time. And it feels, you know, I have felt a little like, God, you know, why aren't you guys supporting? You talk a good game.
Yeah.
The community talks a good game. Why isn't there more support? And I get it. My price point isn't for everyone. I make a better garment. It's sustainable. It's made mostly in Los Angeles. It's expensive. I pay people a living wage. I understand if this is not for you.
Mm-hmm.
But could you like it? Could you post? could you maybe reshare? Yeah. It doesn't cost you anything.
Yeah.
And I've had to really just ask in a humble way. For those things, like, just comment, like, share it with a friend who might enjoy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a hard time asking.
I've always had a hard time asking.
You have to. Yeah. You just want people to be, like, so excited about something that they do it anyway. And then when you have to be like, oh, no, I really need to just, like...
Yeah, can you guys share this, please?
Yeah, can you share this? Can you buy this? Can you sign up for this? Can you fill out this form?
I also feel like, and this is coming from like a social media, just like a little social media view in looking at some of my own posts and things, is that people are getting views or people are getting engagement, but they're not getting likes and follows, and like people aren't as engaged with the product anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's very much they go, oh, that's nice, and then they just keep going.
Yep,
it's
on
true.
Their way, because we just are so inundated with stuff we're supposed to like and stuff we're supposed to follow, and it's just like you get everyone. I feel like right now, collectively in a world, is like
just like fatigue.
Like, oh, that is nice,
right?
And then you go like it, and they go, I don't want to.
Yeah.
They just keep going, and you're like,
oh my God,
this is
that's so crazy.
Yeah.
That's
well,
so crazy. But thank you. So basically, you're telling me not to take it personally.
Don't take it personally.
It's hard not to take it personally.
I can give you a little bit of the science on that, though, too. So from like a user experience perspective, when we moved things into like the TikTok, Instagram Reels center of things is when we started seeing some of that engagement go down. And it's not because, this is one of the things that's interesting, is like you see a lot of mm-hmm. influencers complaining that their engagement is down.
Yeah.
It's down not just because, you know, algorithms shift, which is a frustrating thing. It's also down because user behavior has shifted.
Sure.
And so what's happening now is like it's exactly as you said, Jenny, like we're actually going through these feeds and we're just swiping. And so it is rarer that we are, God, I love that word.
Rarer?
It's like
rarer.
Rural, you know?
Rural.
It's
medium rarer that people are actually engaging, whether it's leaving a comment or a like. So views actually count more now, even though the frustrating thing about views is like people can hate, like you don't know enough.
Yeah.
So they can hate watch, or they can like mindlessly watch, or if you're like me and you're brushing your teeth, you might accidentally watch a video 6 times because it's in the other room.
Yeah.
You're watching it, quote unquote, you know? But like that's the thing is like we've actually gotten away from really understanding user behavior with some of these new like yeah. how
no it makes sense. But I'm not even saying that. I'm just saying my own community. Mm-hmm. It's you know I get a lot of accolades and people are excited and as you say and
yeah
and then you know. It's a little, I feel, yeah. I'm a little out here on my own sometimes yeah. it feels like.
Yep.
I'm not complaining, but I'm kind of complaining.
Well, I don't think it's complaining. I think it's just the reality of, like, I'm not getting the support from a community
right.
that I was getting before.
Right.
Yeah, and it's interesting. You know, it's interesting when I get a lot of people saying, why aren't you making my size? Mm-hmm. Can you make a 8? Can you make a 6? Mm-hmm. And I'll be honest, I've had the moments of like, am I doing the right thing? Should I just chase the money? Should I just
right. yeah.
go after these people who want my shit?
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I think this is the thing is like, so, you know, not to pitch, but to pitch. This is one of the reasons why we're starting Trace. So Trace started from this place of like wanting to have a real source of truth for things on the internet. Like who is really posting? Who's the real person? Because we have so many fakes out there.
Sure.
But then what we realized is when somebody had a profile on Trace where you could start putting all of your content, you can say, you know, here's all my stuff from Instagram, here's the stuff from my website, here's the stuff from Pinterest or whatever that you're already posting out there. Then you have this like beautiful portfolio, which, and it was really as easy as putting a subscribe button on people's profiles. So then you can connect directly with your audience. So then,
but if I just want to interrupt you because yeah. it's a portfolio, but what's really genius about what you're doing is that it's a protected portfolio. Right. I think that's key yeah. because as creatives, as having many, many things copied or taken or, mm-hmm. you know, whatever you want to call it. I think a lot of people are afraid to put out their best work or to show yeah. it or, mm-hmm. you know, watermark it or whatever they have to do, especially photographers nowadays. I mean, you know, I can't even imagine what it's like to be a photographer.
Nightmare.
So I really think what you're doing is not only genius, but it's really, really interesting for me in terms of what's coming next. Mm.
Yeah, I think, and you know, it's, I feel like we're like slightly ahead of the curve and yet this problem is happening. So
always, it's been always, happening yeah.
too.
Yeah.
So it's kind of this exciting place to be. But I think there's that thing where we've gotten away from creators being able to have this direct connection to their audience unless you do a newsletter. And the problem with that is that nobody wants to sit down and do a newsletter. So this was sort of the like...
I did one.
You do?
I sent one out.
And you have to, but it feels... but your face is exactly. You're like, you don't want to do it anymore. That's the thing. You do one and it feels like this huge accomplishment.
Well, nobody opens them either.
Well, there's also that, right? Like,
yeah.
No, it feels like this huge accomplishment and then you're like... oh, I have to do this again. It's like doing dishes to me. Like, that's what newsletters yeah. feel like to me. And I do not like
I only
dishes.
Do one once a year.
See? There it is, right?
So I do the recap and, you know, to send yeah. it out yeah. to my people.
Yeah.
Do who, have like support, the who have supported me.
Yeah. Like, McCall can no longer wait. Open now. Like, every...
Right. Oh, can I call, can I call you for header sure. and subheaders? Because oh I'm so God. Tired sure. of
yeah.
coming up
hey,
with them.
Hey, girly fashionista.
I think just
open hi. Up and hey, spread big, them wide oh for the call.
Hey, big,
okay,
beautiful.
New business. I'm scrapping
okay, okay.
Trace.
Okay, good.
Is Jenny is going to write your newsletter for you. We will hire a comedian to write your newsletter
if
for
you.
If
you don't open this, all of fashion will end right now. McCall.
Ooh, can I use your voice, too? I'll trade. Sure. I'll trade your work for my work.
Sure.
I'm very into bartering.
I'll be on your website.
I love it.
Just feel like, check out these dresses before they vanish. And
okay.
so will your family. McCall.
Or your family will vanish.
Family
I'm
will
a little
vanish.
More ominous than you are. Okay, okay. So can I request two things?
Yes.
Can we talk about the F word? As in flattering.
Yes.
And
yes.
can we also talk about sustainability, that
please.
Overused
yes.
word, but it does sort of encompass some thoughts I have.
Yeah. So here's what I want to propose.
Okay.
Because I don't think that we can do this in a few minutes. I think that these are big topics and I want to get into them. And so can I propose a part 2?
Yeah, absolutely.
Propose a part two. Yeah.
Proposed. I proposed it.
And I bet you
ratified. Do you second the motion?
I second the motion.
Second. It's ratified.
Motion is seconded. Yeah. I think flattery is important in talking about. Because I actually was, this is a hot, spicy topic, but do you also, too, do you feel like with all of, like, the Wegovys and Ozempic, do you feel like that's also
impacting your business?
Impacting your business and attributing to it.
I mean, it could, I hadn't thought about it, but it absolutely could in terms of really waiting till they lose the weight before they buy new clothes. Entirely possible. And it's just a number.
Yeah.
Like at the end of the day, buying something and trying something that fits and is beautiful and fits in your arms line and you're not thinking about your clothes all day and you're not pulling and
the little space I get.
A little, you know, I
hate that.
Well, because it's very hard to understand how to mold a two-dimensional object on a three-dimensional body.
Right. Yes.
Listen, at the end of the day, it's an art and it is difficult. Or it requires not a lot of knowledge and expertise. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not surprised that an inexpensive garment doesn't fit very well.
Yeah.
Well, let's wrap this up and then part two.
Oop, part two for the F word?
The F word.
Fit?
Yeah.
Ooh. Okay.
Flattering.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not allowed. That was the other thing that was going on. Like nobody wanted to hear, because flattering is code for you look slimmer.
Yeah,
slimming, hiding. It's code for
But it's not.
Well, we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Yeah, hold your thoughts.
Hold that thought.
Part deux.
All right, thank you so much for sitting down with us.
Yeah, this was awesome.
This was great. I could talk for hours. Apparently.
Next time.
Yeah, we're going
to... I don't want to give back the mic.
Oh, well...
You have to. It has all the information on it.
We can't put it out without it.
Okay, fine.
But thank you so much. And in the meantime, though, Cynthia, where can people find you online?
At Bacall.com, BACAL.com, and on Instagram at BacallOfficial.
Nice. And Jenny.
Jenny Zagrino on everything.
And I'm at Stylethic on everything. Jenny, any events or things you have coming up you want to promote?
Oh, yeah. I'm gone all month.
Where?
I'm on tour. Houston, Dallas, Seattle, Vegas, Austin, Buffalo.
Nice.
A couple of LA shows in between there. Yeah.
Cool.
Can I dress you?
Yeah.
Hey,
amazing.
I'm doing the goddamn comedy jam in Austin, Texas for Moon Tower.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
That'll be like hundreds of people at that show.
Good for you.
That'll be a fun one.
All right. We should also talk at some point about whether or not people should do events in Texas for a while.
I would like to not do it.
No, don't say that. Moon Tower is great. No, but this is one of those things that's been coming out about South by Southwest. So, anyway. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, thank you so much. And everybody, stay tuned for part
Gaudy. Positive. Gaudy. Positive. Gaudy. Positive. Gaudy. Positive. Gaudy. Positive. Positive.